Good stuff, right? I've got a little bit of voice problems today. I'm at the end of my therapy of needing a shot this next week, so hopefully it won't detract from what we're doing a little bit. If you are a visitor, we're talking about Godship, and I will define that for you here in a minute. But I hope that you understand that what I am sharing with you in these four lessons are really the result of 50-something years of being a Christian, 45 years of being a minister. I was telling someone this morning, in fact, I've said it a couple times, I could not have done this lesson the way I'm doing it now 20 years ago. I'm trying to give you the benefit of what I've learned, and I certainly have not arrived and got everything figured out. But I really do believe that if you want a walk with God, that there are things that have to be a part of the whole process of making that happen. And that's what these lessons are. And we'll do a little bit of review real quickly here in just a moment. But let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for giving us this time to be together. Father, we want to know you. We want to be close to you. We want to walk with you, God. Guide us, help us, Father, to have the courage it takes to make that happen. And Father, I pray that we could all rise above ourselves and sometimes even what we've been taught and recognize that if we will draw near to you, you will draw near to us. Give us the courage to do that. Father, give us people to talk to. Help us to witness and share every chance we get. Father, if not by word, by life. Guide us now in this study, Father, and we give you the glory for all good things. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. I want to begin by doing a little bit of good old days stuff. A long-distance relationship is a very difficult thing to maintain. And I think we all know that. Now, again, granted on what level the relationship is, sometimes you've got no choice. But a long-distance relationship is hard on dating. It's hard on friendship. Man, it's hard on marriages. But, of course, when it comes to marriage, you have to make it work and do what you have to get through the particular process there. But I want to talk about what it means to have a long-distance relationship. Now, there are a lot of people here that don't remember the days of long distance. There was a time not long ago when you would pick up the phone and you would call and you would probably say something like this, "Mom, this has got to be quick because we can't afford very much longer and a couple minutes." Or if you done something like this, "Mom, I only had a quarter, so we can only talk for 2 minutes. So here it is, real quickly." Or if you're like me, you know, I went off to school in the seventh grade, 1964. And we only had pay phones, even at Harding when I was there until I got married. We had pay phones. I never had a room with a phone in it. And I would go down the hall and I'd have my one quarter with me. And I'd put the quarter in there and I'd have to say something like this. "This is a collect call from Mike Root." And the operator would call and she would say, "This is a collect call from Mike Root. Do you accept?" And my mother would say, "Who?" No, she never really said that. She always said, "Well, yeah, of course." And then we'd talk. And man, even then, a few minutes into the talk, she would say, "Well, we got to hang up now. This is getting expensive." Right? I mean, everything was all about what it costs. And, you know, I remember for years after even getting a cell phone, I still had a hard time believing I could call anybody anywhere and it didn't cost me anything extra. Of course, at the beginning, it cost a lot to use your cell phone for long-distance calling. But remember how hard, and the other part of that was, too, if you had a phone that was attached to the wall, you know how far you could walk? However far this thing would let you. And there were a lot of us that bought those extra long cords in the kitchen. Remember those? And they would go about 20 feet, and by the end of the time you were talking, you were like, you didn't know which way you went. And if you were really rich, you had a princess phone. Yeah. because the prince's phone had a long cord on this end of it. And you could pick that little thing up and you could walk down, you could lay on the floor, you could lay on your bed and say, yeah, blah, 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 blah. But still, long distance was expensive. We kept everything short and sweet. We did this weird thing called writing. And we would write letters to each other and we would write postcards and we would do things. I'm saying that because I just want to challenge you. Is your relationship with God long distance? Oh, no, 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 I'm here at church. Well, yeah. You see, we got another word we've talked about. Churching is doing the church thing without a relationship with God. Oh, you mean I got to do that too? Yeah. Oh, you know, we get in touch with them every now and then. Lord, just want to remind you I'm here. Thank you for this food. Yeah, I know I didn't say it the last 20 times, but I am grateful for my food. And then sometimes, oh, Lord, man, my life has been falling apart and everything's going wrong and I don't understand what's happening. And Lord, could you do something to help me? Yeah, I know it's been a long time since I talked to you, but could you go ahead and take care of my problem? And I don't do that to make anybody feel bad. I want us to understand that, brethren, when you're talking about a relationship, it's either one that we're really making happen or it's just spiritual talk. It's just churching. Do we really have a relationship with God? Are we desirous of that relationship with God? Is your relationship with Him long distance? I want us to remember, Godship is desiring a close relationship with God. It's not just talking about God and being where you think God people are supposed to be, but it's really desiring that relationship with God. Because, you see, if it's not Godship, then it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. I left the church building. I don't need to think about God. If you don't have a relationship with God, that's exactly how we think. If we don't have a relationship with God, then again, all we're doing is we're touching base periodically and we're trying to make sure that we're reconnecting. Well, these lessons about Godship, what I've been wanting to do is I want to talk about the how of having a relationship with God, along with the why of having a relationship with God. And one of the reasons I want to do that is because I got to tell you, I was a Christian for a lot of years before I even knew I was supposed to be doing that, let alone how to do it. I went to church, I did good things, I was a good guy. Surely that means I've got a relationship with God. Well, no, it doesn't. That's churching, you see? And that's not all bad, but it just means that we got to move beyond that to something bigger. And that's what I want to do. I want us to recognize that we have a challenge here that I want us to think about. Now, there are, in my opinion, there are four essential parts to having Godship. And again, by Godship, I'm talking about a real honest relationship with God. All right, we've talked about two of them already. Seek God, and by, oops, you thought I was going to jump, didn't you? By seek, now please don't let that be another religious word, okay? Because by seek, I'm talking about desiring. I'm pursuing. I'm really after it. I'm not just singing about it, and I'm not just talking about it. I really want that relationship with God, okay? That's what we mean when we talk about that, okay? Did I have a slide with that one? Yeah. That first step, seeking God. And again, remember, it's like any relationship. You ain't going to have it if you don't go after it, okay? But then the other common sense step is the step of serving. Now, I know that's kind of scary because that's another church word that means I've got work to do. And it doesn't. What do you do when you love somebody and you want to impress them and you want to deepen that relationship? You do what pleases them. That's what we do. That's how you maintain friendships and marriages and everything else we do. For without faith, what's the next phrase? It is impossible to please Him, right? because he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you not see that in that passage, Hebrews 11, verse 6? Now, what we're doing this morning very quickly here is I want to look at the third and maybe the scariest of all, okay? I believe, my opinion, if you want a deep, real relationship with God, stay there. There we go. Don't bump into the cross. If you want a deep, real relationship with God, the next step, you're seeking, you're serving God, but then you've got to get into a level of faith that is much deeper than anything else you've thought about. Now, why did I say it was scary? Here you go. It's scary for at least two reasons. Number one, because we're talking about something that's above and beyond the Bible. We don't do anything unless it's through the Bible. Well, the Bible's the one that tells us about this. Okay? Does the Holy Spirit and God and Jesus do anything above and beyond the Bible? Well, of course they do. They don't contradict it. They don't overrule it. They're not talking about new revelations. We're just talking about God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ are active. And the Bible says they're active in our lives, but they're only active to the extent that we understand and are aware of their presence. And that kind of is what I want us to get to. Let's define sensing. I thought this was interesting. I looked at Webster. Sensing is a meaning conveyed as significant or important. I'm sensing this. That means it's important. It is a perceiving by means of our senses. Man, I'm feeling this. I just sort of know something's happening here. It is a conscious awareness or a reality. It comes from the Latin word to have a sensation or a feeling. And listen, I know in the Church of Christ, those words scare us to death. We can't get into feeling because we've got a rational approach to understanding all the facts about the Bible. And maybe, just maybe love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and all those fruits of the Spirit are more than just knowing facts. Maybe that's why we're missing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We're afraid of what might be felt, and we don't need to be afraid of what might be felt. And by the way, even in the Old Testament, the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of knowledge. Well, is that not talking about what you feel? Yeah, I fear the Lord. And that's how that relationship begins. He doesn't want it to stay there. He wants it to move into love because love casts out fear. But we got to understand, brethren, that this is a matter of letting it be something that envelops, isn't a part of the whole person that we are. Now, with that being said, I want to share something with you. And this is my definition just so that you'll have it. Sensing God is an awareness of his presence. Now, if you don't think God does something above and beyond your Bible, God is only around when you've got your Bible in your hands. Sensing God is personally for me having a sense of God is with me wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, when I'm at home, when I'm at work, when I'm in my car, when I'm on the ball court, wherever it is. If I'm not aware of God being there, then I'm going to think there are times in my life that God is not there and I don't have to be godly. That's not the way that works. And so I want us to understand something that maybe it's scary, maybe it's not as scary to you, but what did Paul say on Mars Hill? In him we live and move and have our being. Brethren, he said that about God before the Bible was written. Okay? When Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. He said that before anybody read it in a Bible. And he was telling Christians that's the way they need to feel about their relationship with God and their relationship with Jesus. That's how that works. It's indwelling, it's present, and I know it's there. By the way, our relationship's not built on a sense of presence. Now think about it. You see, the more you love somebody, the deeper the relationship is. Where do they dwell? Right there in your heart. And when you've got that kind of a deep relationship, they're there even when you're not standing next to each other. That's what presence means. That means I'm aware of who I love and they're important to me. They're never out of my mind. They're never out of my heart. That's where God needs to be. And it really should not be that surprising and certainly not that scary. Now, what is involved with having a presence, a sense of a presence of God? Now think about it for a second. All you got to do is say, what kills a relationship? So what kills a relationship? Well, you're ignoring me, right? Or maybe you're apathetic about me. Maybe you're not being kind. Maybe you've rejected me. When you do things that have a sense of this relationship is not important to me, it destroys the relationship. And what you're saying is, even though you're there, I really don't want you to be there. But with God, what we're trying to do is we're trying to make sure that God is there, which, by the way, you see, you can do churching. I mean, week in and week out, and still be ignoring, rejecting God, not having a deep relationship with God. And that's what we've got to get past. We've got to get on with honestly developing that relationship with God. So what's involved in sensing God? As scary as that may sound to you, and by the way, I'm having to assume that everybody here has a desire for a relationship with God, has a desire to want to make God happy, and you have a desire to want to know that God is present in your life. Let me tell you, if you want to go some places that God doesn't go, all you got to do is say, he's not here. Of course, that doesn't change where God really is. It just changes your perception of his presence. So what's involved? Let me give you some simple things. I'm not trying to condescend about anything, but I want us to understand how true and rich this is. Sensing God involves real faith. Not talk faith. Not intellectual faith, but real, honest faith. Now, I know you've been wondering what was in this white container up here. You probably sat there all through the great things that Jerry said and didn't look at it. You know what that is? These are orange slices. They're cutie parts, not really slices. Miss Donna, with her own hands, took them apart. Oh, man. Yeah. I feel the vitamin C going to my toes already. Donna did it with her own hands. She cleaned it, and they taste good. Here, have you one. You're not allergic to oranges, are you? Well, give him one, yeah. Grab you one. Go ahead, y'all get one too. You're not afraid of oranges, are you? Grab you one either. I promise you, there's no trick. I'm just making a point here that I want you to see. Jerry, do you eat oranges?
Yeah.
Grab you one of those here, huh? I always wanted a snack all the way through my sermon. Latasha here.
Thank you.
Eunice, you can grab one, can't you? Now, if you got kidney disease, don't grab one of these.
No.
Okay. Let me get a couple of people over here. You're cold. What are you shivering for? There's people behind you fanning themselves. You know that. There you go. Hey, go grab two of them. Give one to him. Yeah, now don't give one to Howard. He's on dialysis. I don't want him. I don't want him dropping right here in the middle of my sermon. No, I'm just kidding. Can you eat one, Howard? Are you allowed to?
No.
I didn't think you would because I've got kidney disease. I've got kidney disease too. I'm not allowed to eat them. We can't. Donna made me five times more than I meant to have. Now, here's the point I make. You ready? You're the man. All right. Oh, I didn't get anybody over here. Come on. Terry, grab one. Are you allowed to eat oranges?
You betcha.
Come on. Holloway's, I know you all eat nothing but health food.
Oh, yeah, right.
Health food and brownies. Now, here's the point I want to make. You may not have paid attention to what I said at the beginning. Of pulling these out. I said, Donna did it. She cleaned them, and they're sweet. And the people who took one didn't even think twice about it. Didn't even think twice about it. Now, what I want us to understand, the reason I'm using this simple illustration is that's where our faith in God starts changing. You see? When I see what God has done, and I don't have to stop and ask the question, oh, I wonder who did that. I wonder if it's okay. I wonder if it's really good. You see, you don't have to ask those questions. You see, real faith is when we get beyond having to go through evidence over and over and over again to reprove that we're right. Now, that doesn't mean there's not a place for that. It just simply means that we recognize that we're not fighting the battle of evidence because we've gone from I think to I know. And as soon as in my own mind, Donna did it, and they're clean, and they're sweet. I may be nibbling on these all day. I like them. I didn't have to ask a single question about it. Now, I just want you to think about what that challenge means to us, what it means to get beyond the battle of evidence that we all seem to have. Why? Faith is being what?
Sure
of what we hope for, and what? Certain of what we do not see. Well, I'm just not sure. I just don't think. I just, I don't know. Brethren, God said, I love you. God said, I've done everything I can to make it possible for you to have a relationship with me. Well, God, I just don't get it yet. I'm just not sure. I understand that. We're all growing. But you see, real faith that allows you to have a sense of the presence of God is when we start getting into the realm of being sure and certain about God. You see, if you're still unsure and still uncertain, well, then I'm just not sure God's there. I'm not sure he can get close to me. And so I would just encourage you to press on and work at what it means to recognize that God is there and God is active. By the way, we call Hebrews 11 the great faith chapter. He says at the beginning, faith is being sure and certain. And then what does the rest of the chapter say? By faith, Noah. By faith, Moses. By faith, Abraham. You see, when you and I have real faith, that's when we start doing what needs to be done. And by the way, when people speak up and say, I just don't understand why people aren't doing what they said they ought to do. People of real faith do what they said they would do. Because that's what real faith is. And I want us to recognize, if you want a presence of God, a sense of God being there, real faith is sure and certain about the presence of God. Number two, sensing God involves seeing the Creator and not just his creation. Now, I want you to think about that. Because you're looking at a guy who stood up here many, many times and says, don't you see God in his creation? Because I do. But what I want us to understand is we've got to do something bigger than that. We've got to do something that is a little bit bigger than that. God doesn't like being replaced by his own creation. And that's what happens. Well, would you look at God and what he's done? Man, look at those mountains. Look at that beach. Look at that flower. And there's God over there. Do you realize what happens when God is always over there and never in here?
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. We understand that God made it clear that he gave us everything we love, everything that's beautiful. Not only everything that's beautiful, he gave us the ability to understand and appreciate that it's beautiful. What kind of a God is that? How incredible is that? Now, if you got your Bible with you, I know you know that verse in chapter 1 of Romans where it talks about God being seen in the things that he's made. But I want you to see the context because it's so convicting. I'll just read it to you if you can trust and you don't want to look at it. But listen to me. It starts down at verse, let's begin down around, around verse 18 is where we want to get to. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven. godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Now, we usually stop there. Preach on, Paul. God is seen in his creation. But look at what he says next. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. He's saying they recognized God was out there. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. Here's where the scary part is. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Wow. I mean, am I reading that right? Are you really saying that right? Wow, you know, when I look at that, what are you talking about here? He's saying because they were looking at God's creation and saying, wow, this is amazing stuff. And it is, it's amazing stuff, but it wasn't bringing them closer to God. And we have to be careful that we don't do the same thing, folks, that we get so caught up in trying to recognize that we see God that we don't have a personal God. That God is still way off out there somewhere that we don't know. He shows himself, but it must not replace him, okay? Creation admiration can give us a long distance God. Now, again, it can also embellish our faith and say, well, God, you're amazing. Man, when I'm out walking every morning, I walk around and look at things and say, God, you really did a good job today. Man, this is beautiful. And I talk to God about what he's doing, but I'm not talking about a God who's over there. There's a little story that made the rounds on Facebook, and I'm sure many of you have heard it, but I'm going to tell it because not everybody wastes their time on Facebook. A boy asked his dad, how big is God? And the dad said, well, how big is that plane up in the sky? A little boy looked up there and said, well, it's tiny. I could barely see it. I'm not sure what to think about it. And he said, okay, remember that. And then the dad, a few days later, he took the boy to an airport. And they got right up to the fence. And he said, son, how big is that plane now? And the boy said, whoa, that's huge. Look how gigantic that thing is. And the dad said, that's the way God is. You see, the closer you are to God, the bigger God is. The closer you are to God, the greater God is. And you see, that's what it means when we talk about how big is your God. If your God is off in the horizon, if he's in the mountaintop or on the beach somewhere, he may not be a very big God. But we've got a God who made all that. And I just think it's incredible when I think about what God does. Now, let me give you the third one here because we're running out of time. Sensing God involves hearing God's guidance. Now, I know that's scary to some folks, but let me tell you, I'm not talking about a new revelation. God is not going to tell me or you to do anything that somehow contradicts what he's already said in his word, but that does not mean that God does not have the power and ability to speak to us. And I'm not talking about still voices in the dark. I'm not talking about having miraculous visions. I'm not talking about that kind of thing at all. I'm talking about having an awareness of the presence of God, sensing God's presence. That's what I'm talking about. And let me explain to you what I'm talking about as we get into that a little bit here. Very quickly, Paul challenged Christians in Romans chapter 8 to let God lead them. And then he said very clearly, the Holy Spirit will lead you if you let it. And by the way, that's one of the ways he says in Romans chapter 8 that we prove that we are children of God. Now, folks, stop for a second. They weren't reading that out of the Bible. That was a letter from Paul that was being read to everybody else, and he was telling them to be guided by God before they had a Bible to guide them anywhere. So if he's talking about only being guided by the Bible, Paul was tricking them. And don't get me wrong, the Bible does exactly everything God intended for the Bible to do. But that doesn't mean we let it control how we think about how God works. How does God guide us? Does God talk to us? Maybe a better question is, can God talk to us? Are you really ready to say God can't? I'm not. I've said most of my life that Satan can, and now I'm saying God can't. You know, what's with that? And brethren, we've got to understand, listen, sin, distance from God, and fear teaching through most of our lives has kept us many times from hearing God. I believe that. By the way, what was read by Dwayne at the communion? John chapter 10, the Good Shepherd. Remember what he said about the Good Shepherd? The Good Shepherd says, the sheep hear my voice and they know my voice. Oh, well, that was just all figurative language. I know that, but it doesn't mean it doesn't apply. If we're tuned into God, are we going to hear the voice of God? I'm not talking about miraculous whispering. I'm talking about allowing God to speak to our hearts. Let me share something with you that I have read many, many times through the years, and I think I've missed a lot of what it said. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, how are we doing? Oh, everybody's had oranges. They're not hungry. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, you got to begin at verse 7, okay? No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. Now, skip down to verse 9. However, as it is written, no eye has heard, nor eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. You know, don't be holding God back. If you love God, get ready for what he can do. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. A man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of God that he may instruct him? Now, I know we read that, and we very quickly say, well, he's talking about the apostles being inspired by the Holy Spirit. He's applying this to every Christian. I mean, you go back and look at the context of what he's saying. He's saying, if you've got the Spirit of God, if you're connected to God, God's Spirit is going to be teaching and instructing. Now, again, that's not still voices in the night. That's simply a heart that's sensitive to realize that God might be guiding us. Now, again, it probably doesn't hurt God's feeling if all your life you've said, I've just simply had a good conscience and my conscience has been guiding me. Who do you think put that good conscience in there? Right? And so we don't need to be tricked by all that. But see, here's what I want you to get, brethren. Thoughts. Can God put thoughts in our mind? I mean, are you ready to say he can't? I believe God does. God gives us experiences that I really hadn't planned to have, but I have these experiences. God puts godly people in my life. He gives me a church family. And then he gives me his word. And these are all tools of God that guide us. And the more sensitive we are to what God is doing in our life, the more powerful those tools become. Sensing is tuning into God. It is not a miracle. It's not a formula. It's not a special measure for special people receiving special visions. It's simply God caring. Now, by the way, in 2 Corinthians, we've talked about this several times. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said, I prayed to God to deliver this thorn in the flesh. Remember that? How many times did he pray? Three times, right? And what did he say? He said, God spoke to me and said, my grace is sufficient. He said, well, yeah, but he had the miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit. I'll grant you that. But if he had the miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit, why did it take three prayers to get an answer? Maybe it took three prayers to get tuned into what God had been trying to teach him. Do you think Paul did not know that principle before he prayed? He knew that principle. He just needed to be reminded. God needed to nudge him a little bit and say, remember I taught you that? And Paul said, oh yeah, your grace is sufficient. And Paul went on to understand, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Brethren, we block with our own sense of self-strength and our own sense of knowledge. I don't need anything God can tell me. And it's any wonder we miss what God is doing. Now, I just want you to understand, brethren, if you want to have a relationship with God, you are going to need to sense his presence as much as possible. It doesn't mean it's 24 hours a day. It just means that when you tune into God, you know he's there. You don't have to go to a special place, special time with special people. You just tune into God, and he's there. Now, here's what I want to close with. How big is your God? The closer you are to God, the more you're going to hear him. And if you're not hearing guidance from God, and again, it maybe your conscience, your heart just speaking to you. If you're not hearing that, then maybe it's because you really want God to stay far away. But I know if I'm going to hear God, I've got to be close. Now, here's the question. Does God ever shout at us? I believe he probably does. I mean, haven't you done things in your life where in your heart something said, don't do that? I mean, my heart shouted at me many times. Don't you think God can be behind that? But you see, here's what I want you to get. Most of the time, God doesn't shout. Most of the time, what God does is he whispers in our heart. And he says, Mike, don't you think you ought to do this? Don't you think you ought to try that? Maybe you ought to think this way. Maybe you ought to reconsider that attitude you just had. Maybe you need to back up a little bit. And I'm going to give you an example. Here's how we close. What is God saying to you right now? I know some people are going to say, well, God's not saying anything. I got my Bible closed. I think you're narrowing what God can do in your life. I really believe that. But that's all right. You've got to grow. I've got to grow. We'll keep doing our thing. But you know, when we finish a lesson where we're talking about having an honest and real relationship with God by recognizing that he's present, do we forget it? Do we just ignore it? Do we just sort of say, yeah, I'll work on that someday? Or maybe we have to realize that what's being said in your heart right now is because God put you here and God wanted you to hear that and he wanted you to think about it. And what's going on in your heart right now is God speaking to you. Are you ready to slam the door on that? Are you ready to say, God, I don't want to listen to this? You know, God speaks to the heart. So what's the heart saying? Maybe you need to talk to him right now when we stand up in just a moment. It doesn't have to be anything that difficult. Just, Lord, I've sort of wandered away. I'm not listening to you much. Lord, help me to reconnect. We're talking about the dad that's waiting for you to run back to him. That's what we're talking about. And maybe there's some people you need to talk to. Maybe there's some things that you need to correct. Maybe you need the prayers of the body. Maybe you need the elders or one of the elders to pray with you or for you. They're going to be around the room. Don't close the door on what God is saying to you right now as together we stand and sing.